You're listening to Wheelationships.
We spent a couple weeks talking about not getting what we want. If you've been wanting us to move on and talk about something else, you'll get a little bit of that today. So let's look at the fourth emotion that can cause havoc in our relationships. We've talked about guilt, anger, greed, and last week we were talking about jealousy. And jealousy says, God owes me. God owes me. Jealousy says, what God has done for others, he surely should have done for me. There's an old song that says, what he's done for others, he could do for you. That's an old song. But jealousy says, what he's done for others, he should have done for me. Jealousy's weird. Jealous, because with the other emotions of guilt and especially anger and greed, we have to lie to ourselves with those in order to justify hanging on to those emotions, in order to justify our wrong behavior because of those emotions. We have to convince ourselves that, you know, our anger is perfectly fine, our greed is perfectly fine, our guilt is perfectly fine because, of course, it's normal. And we have to lie to ourselves that way. With jealousy, we're lying to ourselves, but we're lying to ourselves twice. Because first we have the first lie, well, the second lie is that God owes me. But the second lie, oftentimes we never get to the second lie because of the first lie. And the first lie is that it's not God, it's other people. That my situation is they have this, they have that, they're better at this, they have more of that and more of this. And so we lie to ourselves and think that the issue is the other person, that or someone else that has made this not fair. Okay, processing all this. So we don't even hear the second lie because we've already told ourselves that the person has more than we do, and the person who has better than we have, and the person who has what we want, we tell ourselves that they are the problem. And it's not true, because what is the problem? Some of you are listening. Yes, we are the problem. We're not getting what we want. That's the problem. So, yes, jealousy is simply thinking that we're owed by someone else. But oftentimes we don't realize that the someone else that owes us is really God. And this causes all sorts of relational problems. After all, when you're blamed for something that isn't your fault, does that make you want to have a better, more intimate relationship with them? Of course it does. Yeah. I mean, people, when we look at other people and say, well, and it's not them. It's the fact that we're not getting what we want, and it goes back to God. God, you put me in this situation where you should have provided for me better. But we take it out on other people. Happens all the time with kids, right? You know, they have this, they have that. La, 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 la. Hi. Hi. Offering. So what we shared last week is true. It's hard to actively love someone you're jealous of. It's hard to actively love someone you're jealous of. It's hard to serve. It's hard to submit to someone who is a constant reminder of what you're not. Which leads us to this. Our jealousy becomes resentment. Our jealousy becomes resentment. That word interested me. Words tend to do that. That one kind of interested me. So I went and looked it up. And resent, from the Latin center, which means to feel. So to feel. And, of course, re means again. So to feel again and again. And every time you look, you see what they have and you feel again. This isn't like I want it. This is not what I want. So it's one thing when it happens the first time. But when the feelings don't stop, we grow to resent the other person because the feelings keep coming. And the thing is, our resentment needs justification, just like every other emotion. Our resentment needs justification to go along with it. And so if we can find the justification, then we're safe. We're free to resent anyone and everyone that's better than me. Rich people, supermodels, bodybuilders. Of course, I don't resent those people. Stay-at-home moms. We can write off whole groups of people because they shouldn't be that way. So we take it out on people. Okay? Are you feeling this at all? You get what I'm saying? Now, if you don't, if you say, well, I don't resent anybody, I'm just, yeah, okay. What category of people do you secretly resent? Think a minute. Who really gets your goat, if you had a goat? Tony, who's getting your goats? I don't know. No. Who? Somebody can take these goats up here. Who really gets under your... What group of people do you secretly just... They, you know, if something not terrible happened to them, but kind of bad happened to them, knocked them down a peg, you know? Take out sports teams, okay? Professionals, entertainers, company executives, married people, singles, children, retirees... Liberals. Who really? Nah. See, that resentment and the associated justification for it is really jealousy in disguise. That's a big indicator of there's a jealousy issue there. You're not getting what you want, and you think that other people are, and you're resenting that. Getting rid of jealousy starts with the step we've already talked about. Realize that the person, that other person, really has nothing to do with my resentment. The reason for my resentment has nothing to do with them. It's simply I'm not getting what I want. So that's the first thing. And then you go ahead and you do the other thing we talked about for the last couple of weeks. You take it to God. Here's another Andy Stanley quote. Go ahead and tell him how unhappy you've been with the way he's made you and treated you. He can handle it. Because you're right. He could have done all that. After all, he did it for your sister and your brother-in-law. Heck, look what happened, what he's allowed the pagans down the street to own, drive, and look like. Then sum it up this way. Summarize it this way. Lord, to sum it up, I think you owe me. But he doesn't, does he? We owe him, right? We owe God. But jealousy says, no, God, you owe me. So take that to him. Really. It'll help you work some things out. See, there's a habit we need to cultivate. Guilt needs... What habit does guilt need? What do we need to develop? It's been a long time ago. Oh, okay. Class review. For guilt, we need to develop confession. Oh, yeah. If you're battling guilt, if you have things that's in there that you feel guilty about, that you've kept a secret, and you don't want anybody to know about it, you might need to take that to God first. Say, God, here it is. I need confession. Are you? Oh, okay. What does anger need? Didn't know you were going to be quizzed on it this morning, did you? When we have anger, what habit do we need to develop with anger?
I don't know.
Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Hey, these are online, by the way. You can go back and listen to them. Boy, I'm stepping out of limb here. With what we just talked about it. With greed, you need to develop generosity. I'm holding great hope that you're going to remember this one today. Guilt needs confession. Anger needs forgiveness. Greed needs generosity. Those are habits we need to develop. Jealousy needs something as well. We fight jealousy by the power of celebration. By the power of celebration. Romans 12:15, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. It takes the power away from jealousy when you rejoice over the successes of others and sympathize with their failures instead of the other way around. Now, the question there is, you mean even when I don't feel like it? When you want to say without enthusiasm, great. Oh, you got a new car. Great. That's great. Good for you. Okay. Yes. Yes. Even when you don't feel like it, simply express the truth. Do you think your sister looks good in her new outfit? If so, tell her. If not, don't. Do you think your brother-in-law's new car is awesome? If so, tell him. If not, then there's nothing to say. Did your coworker get promoted? Did they get a raise? Do you wish it was you? If you do, then tell them, congratulations. I'm glad that happened. When something happens for somebody else and you have that feeling of, man, why wasn't it me? That's the perfect time to say, I'm glad for you. Congratulations. If you can't, then there's an issue. If you genuinely feel like you wish it happened for you, but you can't tell the other person, good job, congratulations, way to go, I'm happy for you, then there's an issue. There's jealousy at work. Whose success have you been hesitant to celebrate? Who deserves a pat on the back? Who deserves a letter, a phone call, a hug, a big smile? Whose progress have you mentally chalked up to luck and therefore you refuse to acknowledge it? So, well, whose achievements have brought to the surface some insecurities in you? Insecurities that have caused you to shy away from celebrating their wins. And I say, congratulations, sir. I hope everything works out exactly like you want it to. I do. There is jealousy at work. Huh. Interesting. I won't read the whole thing because it's such a familiar story, but I can't help but think there of the lost son from Luke chapter 15. All the elements of a sick heart are in that story. Guilt, anger, greed, jealousy. And what does the father say? We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has now come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found. What if you made it the habit of your life to celebrate the successes of others? Our jealousy of others is going to manifest in ungratefulness towards God. Yes. Is there a hand? Or are we calling an auction right here?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. You first of all, you recognize where that's coming from, first of all, I think is the biggest help, is understanding that. I gotta get rid of that. Understanding what they're going through. I mean, part of our job, and that's a whole different subject, is empathy and understanding the feelings of others. And that's half of what we're talking about here, because sometimes we're going to deal with jealousy. Sometimes we're going to deal with jealous people. But it all goes back to they're not getting what they want. And sometimes there's nothing you can do about that. I mean, most of the, you really can't do anything other than to continue to show and be Christ-like in that. Yes, sir.
You know, I think a prime example of that, and so many times I think it is just us learning how to deal with ourselves and how instances will happen to certain people, and there's not much we can do on that. But there's two brothers, they lived here in town years ago, both played baseball in high school. The younger brother was good, very good. Was he great? No. His older brother was just as good of a ball player, different position. When the scouts came into town, his younger brother shined. Wound up going to have a professional baseball career. The older brother didn't. Had to work hard, stayed here in town. And it's just one of those things that sometimes, you know, and I look at this in business and other factors, that sometimes certain people just get the breaks. And we can be jealous over that. Or we can just say congratulations, and I'm not sure what it is, why you managed to be so lucky. You can fall into a, you know, a bunch of thorn bushes and come out unscathed. It's just the way it happens, and you just kind of take it that way.
Are you talking about?
See, and the real issue there is you can come up with all sorts of justifications and reasons of why it's not fair, blah, 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 blah. But who you're dealing with is not that person. Who you're dealing with is God. And our jealousy of others will, you might as well circle that word, will manifest itself in ungratefulness towards God. Okay? You don't like the way things turn out? You can say, well, it was those idiots that didn't know what they were doing. It's this person that should have it. But who's in control of it all? God. Romans is pretty clear on how authority gets put in place. Just as the older brother did with his father and brother, we'll focus on the wrong things and we'll turn all of that into something that's going to damage and undermine not only the relationship with in this parable. It wasn't just the other brother. There was damage in the relationship with the father, because the father wanted the son to come in and celebrate, and the older brother just didn't want to have anything to do with it. And he said, we have to celebrate. This is a habit you have to develop. There's this other parable that I think illustrates it even more clearly. Matthew 20, for the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard at noon, and again at 3 o'clock in the morning, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around. He asked them, why haven't you been working today? They replied, because no one hired us. The landowner told them, then go out and join the others in my vineyard. That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner, "Those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you've paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat." He answered one of them, "Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others?" Don't turn the page. Stay right there. All right. "Should you be jealous because I am kind to others?" Sila, let you think about it. Yes.
I was going to say, when you were teaching last week, that's the story that came to my mind. I didn't know you were going there. I had so much trouble with that story growing up because it kind of aggravated me because it didn't seem fair.
Mm-hmm.
And just as ever so clearly, the Holy Spirit said, that's my principle. That's how I operate. And look where else I do that. I did that on the cross with those two thieves. It was at the very end that they received, the one received his salvation.
Yeah. Yeah. Turn the page. So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last. That was the point of the story. That sometimes things don't seem fair. But think about the story a second. This is so us. So the heart of jealousy. It's not fair. The people who came first there, if you want to look, flip the page and look at the story, you can. Was their salary cut? No. Were they underpaid? No, they were paid a fair day's wage. You can look at there in the story. It says a normal daily wage. Were they forced to do something they weren't hired to do? No. Were they paid on time? Yes. They completely forgot that at the beginning of the day, they didn't have a job and they didn't have money. And at the end of the day, they have money. And likely if they did good work, the landowner is going to want them back the next day. Yet here they were at the end of the day, and their jealousy manifests in ungratefulness to the landowner. And it's important to remember that this whole parable is in response to this question from Peter. Peter said to him, "We've given up everything to follow you. What shall we get?" And that's so us too. And Jesus reassures Peter and the rest of the disciples, and he says, "I'll take care of you, but remember, there's going to be people that come after you that didn't go through what you went through, that didn't have all the experiences you had, that didn't, they're not going to have been there through all of this. They're not going to be there through the crucifixion. They're not going to be there in the Garden of Gethsemane. They're not going to be there in all of these experiences. And they're going to come after you, and they're going to receive the same reward you did." And he's saying here, don't let your resentment take away the joy of your relationship. I mean, you think about the people in this parable. How likely is it that the landowner is going to want to hire them the next day? See, because they just forgot how grateful they should have been. And celebration, it's not going to be up there because I got a problem. Celebration turns resentment to contentment. Celebration turns resentment to contentment. Resentment is that strong desire for something that's not ours. and it comes again and again and pounds at us and says, but you should have had. Resentment focuses on what other people have. Contentment is focused on what is contained within our boundaries. Contentment, containment from the same root. Contentment looks at what's contained within our boundaries. When we keep noticing the green grass on the other side of the fence, we can become resentful. Why is theirs growing like that and mine looks like this? But when we celebrate the green grass of the neighbor, then we can honestly look at our yard and say, you know, okay, this may be a bad example. Maybe, yeah. Because maybe you're like us and you look at your yard and go, man, brown spots, and man, we're trying and putting the thing out, and she works hard, and it frustrates her to death. But wait, let's start with this. We have a yard.
It's
colorful. That's right. It's ready for fall. And God has blessed you and given you a life. And God has blessed you and given you whatever. I don't know what you have. Or go ahead and have a jealous heart. Fine. Just go ahead. Resent other people. Guy goes to a doctor. Again, this is another Andy Stanley thing. Guy goes to a doctor. Brian has been having trouble getting to sleep at night. He suffers from acid reflux and lately has noticed walking up the single flight of stairs to his bedroom leaves him breathing harder than normal. So Brian makes an appointment to see a cardiologist. The doctor runs Brian through an extensive battery of tests, including a grueling 3 minutes on the treadmill. A week later, Brian finds himself in the good doctor's exam room waiting for the results. The concerned look on Dr. Bantham's face confirms Brian's suspicions. Something isn't right. Dr. Bantham glances gravely at his chart and says, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst case scenario, you're a 7. You don't need surgery at this time, but you will if you don't make some immediate lifestyle changes. Like what? Brian asks, a bit worried about what's coming next. The doctor pulls a single page from his clipboard and hands it to Brian. This is a 3-day-a-week exercise regimen, he explains. Once your body becomes accustomed to this level of activity, we'll bump it up a notch. But I don't think you understand, Brian complains. I can't do all this. I have a bad heart. You said so yourself. Once my heart gets stronger, then yeah, I don't mind exercising, but you don't expect me to do all this stuff in my present condition. Dr. Bantham looks confused, so Brian continues. Look, this says you want me to walk for 30 minutes 3 times a week. Do you realize how winded I'll be? I'll be sweating like a pig. And if I do these stretches, I'll be unbearably sore for days. Doc, I have a bad heart. I can't do all this stuff. Look, fix my heart, and then I'll seriously consider your routine. Brian, I'm trying to fix your heart. This is how you fix it, by exercising it. The discomfort is part of the cure. You strengthen a muscle by exhausting it and then letting it rest. To fix your heart, you've got to exhaust it periodically and let it rest. And yes, you'll sweat and you'll be sore and you won't always feel good during the process, but this is the road to recovery. And Brian just shakes his head. Look, Doc, let me level with you. My wife has been trying to get me to exercise for years. So about a year ago, I finally gave in and tried out her treadmill. I wasn't on that thing 5 minutes before I thought I was going to die. I'm telling you, it won't work. I've already tried exercise. It just made me tired. And there's another thing. You know how silly I look in the spandex shorts, like I'm wearing hippo pantyhose. Now, once I lose weight, I may go for the whole fitness look, but not until then. So if you'll please do something to strengthen my heart, I'll be happy to follow your advice. After all, you're the expert, not me at this point. Dr. Bantham opens the door and says, Brian, you're an idiot. We're just like Brian. We sing, change my heart, oh God, but we never get on the treadmill. Pastor's been covering this during the Despicable Me series, but it's worth repeating. We don't have personality quirks that need understanding. We don't have personality quirks that need understanding. We have destructive habits that need to be broken. Guilt, anger, greed, jealousy aren't just the way we are. They're the result of destructive habits, and the way we break them is with new habits. Habits of confession, forgiveness, generosity, confession. diets don't begin tomorrow. Good habits don't start next week. It all starts now. So what needs to change? What habit needs to be developed in you? Remember this? These emotions that destroy our hearts continually tell us what we owe and what is owed us, but God can neutralize all of that when we implement habits which keep us and our hearts open to Him and His provision. The verse says it here, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Have a good week.